Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
And I always ask people, if a bank is giving you 0% for 12 months, don't you feel like you could figure something out in 12 months?
1,000%.
I think so too, right?
Yeah.
But let's say you couldn't figure it out. You feel like you could figure something out in 24 months?
Absolutely.
Exactly. So what happens is people don't know that you could get the 0% interest. They could do a balance transfer and give yourself even more time. So there's no reason to be afraid of the funding. You just got to know how to leverage it like the rich people. You know what I'm saying? Because poor people, they use their credit in case of emergencies. But rich people use their credit in case of opportunities.
Come on.
Hey, business owners, what if I helped you get access to $50,000 in business funding for $1 a day? Would you be interested? Well, inside of my Credit Mastery community, you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program that's worth tens of thousands of dollars to give you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that'll help you reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be giving you 2 coaching calls every week that'll give you the exact banks you need to go to get access to $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat get access to $50,000 in funding from Chase, helped Alvin get access to $8,000 in funding from Amex, helped Matt boost his personal credit score by 150 points, and helped Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below this video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today, is a very special day because our guest today is a father, entrepreneur, investor, mentor, coach, digital marketing specialist, and business funding expert extraordinaire. He's the CEO of Smartphone Billions, a brand responsible for funding well over $5 million in 2024 in 0% interest and teaching others on how they can do the same. From doing DoorDash deliveries to running a multi six-figure business that has educated thousands all across the country on business credit, his story is one of promise, persistence, and purpose personified. And his mission is simple: to help entrepreneurs just like you make their first $100,000 in business through the power of digital marketing and credit. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Bronx, New York, by way of Baltimore, Maryland, I'm here with the one, the only, Zaki Aman, better known as the Smartphone Billionaire. What's going on, family?
What's going on, bro? I need you to speak at every event I go to, man. Just hearing you say all of that stuff is like, that's me?
Yeah, it is definitely you. How are you, family?
I'm doing amazing, brother.
Yeah, good. Excited to have you on here. This is gonna be one of them ones, and I'm looking forward to it, man. This is a conversation that's definitely a long time coming. Excited to have you on here. Obviously, I'm familiar with you, but I want to get the audience familiar with you as well. So for those who don't know, let's get them to know who exactly is Mr. Zaki Aman.
Let's get it, brother. So Zaki Aman, a.k.a. Smartphone Billionaire. Guys, I focus on helping entrepreneurs get access to capital, then teaching them how to get access to real estate, and then also showing them how to make a bag on leveraging content.
Okay, so let's obviously, you're doing well now, but it wasn't always like this. There's a journey, right, that you had to go along to get to this point. So let's go back to your earliest days, as far back as you would like to go. What did life look like before entrepreneurship?
It was rough, you know what I'm saying? I grew up with a single mother. My mom used to be so broke, she used to budget in the late fee for her rent. So it was like, dang, man, you know, watching that kind of do something to you where it's like, man, I can't just mess around with life. I got to figure out how can I get to that bag and immediately. So that's when I'm starting to look for avenues where I can make a lot of money fast. And entrepreneurship was one of the first mediums that, you know, I'm like, I could get money, I could have the lifestyle, I could also have the freedom, but more importantly, I could have the impact.
Diving a little bit more into your childhood, I read somewhere that, and you can correct me on this, you did a lot of moving around. You went to 12 different schools within you kind of just being going from a kid to your adolescence. Like, And if we're taking a step back, that's more school changes than most families will go through in a lifetime. What was that doing to you at that point? As a young man, you're growing up, you're just trying to, you know, find your footing, you figure yourself out, figure life out. What are you dealing with at that moment in time?
Man, it was tough. You know, every time you move, you got to meet new friends. You get roasted again. So imagine having to meet new friends 12 times and getting roasted every time you're a new student somewhere, right? So that happened to me for 18 years. I went to 12 different schools. Literally, I went from schools in New York to schools in Baltimore to schools in Philadelphia to schools in Virginia, to the point where it's like, man, you know, this shit is unstable. So I couldn't wait to be an adult, you know, have my own children so that I could create that stability for them. Because growing up, shit was rough. You know what I'm saying? My mom, she was struggling paying bills. And, you know what I'm saying? We had to move so much to the point where, like I told you, she had to budget the late fee into her rent because she ain't know how she was going to pay the bills. So she like, you know, F it. I'm going to just pay the extra $150 every single time until they kick us out. So yeah, we moved a lot, bro.
Was your father in your life?
Yes and no. Okay. So like my father was in my life till I probably was in like seventh grade.
Okay.
Then that's when he did something weird. My pops had got married and he told all my friends from the building, right? But he ain't tell me. So that kind of made me feel some type of way. I'm like, how are he going to invite all my homeboys to his wedding but not invite me? So after that, I kind of like, man, I can't rock with this nigga. You know, he on some weirdo shit.
Mm-hmm. So strained relationship with pops. Mom financially isn't doing too well. And did you have any siblings as well at the time? Or are you just the only child?
I got a brother. He 8 years younger than me.
Got you. So you around the time dealing with all this family stuff, and as if things couldn't, what was the turning point, if you will, as you're navigating this journey? Did things get better as time went on, or did things ultimately get worse between you and everyone else in the family?
Like with my mom?
Yeah.
Nah, shit was always the same. Like, it was terrible. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was reminiscing yesterday because, you know, I grew up in the Bronx, and I was like, damn, I used to grow up next to trash. You know what I'm saying? Like, because that's how it is out here. So it was terrible. Mm. It was something that I wouldn't want anybody else to go through.
Mm. I also read you went from, so you have the situation with your mom, and ultimately you're going from school to school, and as things progress, if I'm not mistaken, your mom also ends up getting locked up.
Yeah.
Talk a bit about that. How do you think that moment shaped where you were going at that point in your life?
It was crazy because I feel like my mom getting locked up was good for me because I was in New York when she got locked up. Mm. And all my homeboys ended up going to jail or joining gangs. Mm. So like when she got locked up, I had to move with my uncle when he was in the military. So every summer she would send me down to his house.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be when I was bad. She'd be like, yo, you keep messing up. I'm going to send you down to your Uncle Aleem house. I'm like, nah. He was like J-Map size. So I'm like, nah, I'm not trying to go down there. He's going to have me doing wild, crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when she got locked up, I had the choice between living with my aunt who lived in New York or moving to Virginia with him. So I chose Virginia just because I knew it was like, it was what I needed. I didn't want to be around the hood. I didn't want to be around the same environment. So when she got locked up, it took me out of all of the vices. I literally was in a nice house, nice neighborhood. Yeah. You know, in New York, you got to get on the subway to go to school. But when I moved with him, I was able to get on the yellow bus. So it just came with its own privileges. It let me to lock in. I didn't have to worry about adult problems no more. I didn't have to worry about if my mom was going to pay the bills, if it was going to be groceries in the fridge. I could literally just be a kid and focus on school.
How old were you around this time?
12.
So you're 12 years, most 12 years old at that point, because you're at around that age, that's usually when you're most impressionable. So you had grown up in a certain type of environment and you still had the mental wherewithal at that time to decide to go with your uncle, despite a lot of the stuff that you grew up around. Where do you think that came from? Because I think if you put 99 other kids around that time in your same position, you'd be like, I'm going to just stay here in the streets. I'm going to just figure it out. Why did you decide to go the other way?
Because the people ain't had nothing I wanted. Everybody in the hood, like, not to say it was bums, but nobody had, like, the stuff I wanted. They have nice cars. They have nice houses. You know how it is in New York where most people live five people to a one bedroom. Right. So it's like, this ain't the life that I want to live. So it's like, yeah, I could do what they doing, but I can already see that that shit is not it.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing my uncle, he had the structure where it was like, even though I feel like what he does is kind of boring and lame, but it's the fact that it's consistent. He's able to provide for his family. Mm-hmm. He ain't never have to worry about if the people was coming to get him in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, that's what I need. I'm not trying to go to jail. So why do I want to be in an environment where that's the option?
Mm. So you're 12, you with uncle now, you have the structure and all these different things. Where does the introduction to entrepreneurship now begin?
When I went to college.
Okay, so pretty much from 12 going on like 18-ish, regular, living a regular kid life.
No, it wasn't regular.
So what's happening between 12?
My mom was locked up for a year. Okay. So after she came back home, my living with my uncle wasn't good. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't good. It was okay. Like one of those things where you expecting things to be good because he has this life that we all want where he could pay his bills. But his wife used to be tripping, right? Since he's in the military, he would go on, what are them joints called? He would be stationed somewhere else, right? Okay. So anytime he was stationed, his wife would trip. Like, she wouldn't cook dinner. Mm. She wouldn't wash clothes. She would start, like, really vibe. She would start violating to the point where it's like, what's going on? It's like a complete 180, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, it really wasn't that good. And I remember one time I wrote my mom a letter. I'm like, Mom, I need you to get up out of there. They're tweaking you, right? And that's when she told my uncle to open up the letter. Mm-hmm. And that's when I don't know where my uncle was in, like, Afghanistan, but I swear he came home the next day.
That's crazy.
And was beating my ass. Like, nah, you ain't about to be ungrateful here. Nah, you gotta, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna have to show some appreciation. So I went through that for a whole year, just feeling like the male Cinderella. So once my mom came home, I was like, Mom, please come get your boy.
So you go, and so pretty much kind of still, it was really a game of pick your poison. Like, either I'm gonna be here with y'all, or I'm gonna be kind of in my mom in the streets, not really around much.
Yeah.
And at that point, you hadn't really been introduced to business in any way, shape, or form, more or less. We fast forward now to college. What happens in college that now brings you into the world of entrepreneurship?
I was broke. I went to school with $150 in my pocket. I had sold some Jordans. So I'm like, I sold some Jordans, had $150 in my pocket. And I was one of the brokest college kids. I'm like, man, I did that for 2 years. I'm broke. You know what I'm saying? I'm stealing food from the calf, stealing food from my friends. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, who got EBT? I need to eat. And that's when I went home on a random weekend, and my boy invited me to a network marketing meeting. And he like, yo, bro, I got something you want to see. I just tapped in with some millionaires. I'm like, say less, bro. What you know about millionaires? So he invited me to an event. It was at a hotel. And as soon as I walked in, I'm like, oh, no, these niggas scamming. You know, they had on baggy suits, Walmart shoes. I'm like, nobody in here getting no money. Ain't no millionaires in this room. So I'm just texting on my phone the whole time. Like, I'm not doing whatever they doing in here. They weird. And that's when at the end of the event, you know how network marketing is. You got your upline, your downline. And my homeboy's upline was like, so what did you think of the event? I'm like, not really for me. He's like, so what's not for you, making money? I'm like, no, I'm about making money for sure. He's like, so why wouldn't you do this? I'm like, it's just not for me. He was like, so you just gonna watch your friend get rich? So I just looked at my man. He looked determined. I'm like, nah, I ain't gonna let him get rich. But he was like, so why aren't you gonna get started? I'm like, I'm just trying to think of an excuse. He was like, I know what it is. You don't have the money. So I'm like, nah, I got the bread. It's only 500. She was like, so spend it. And I'm like, I gotta make a transfer. He's like, so make it. I'm like, I ain't got no service. He's like, all right, let's step outside. I'm like, it's cold outside. So I kept making all of these excuses, but that's when I'm just like, you know what? Let me lock in with my boy, see what we can do with this. And we was able to build an empire in Baltimore, start helping a lot of people that was under the age of 21, start making good money without working jobs.
So you get into the network marketing space. You finally start kind of getting your footing financially. And you're making, what's the most amount of money that you're making around that time?
10 bands.
10,000, and that's on a monthly basis.
Yeah, my biggest week probably is like 6 bands.
Got you. So you're making about $10,000 a month. How long ultimately does that last? Because obviously you're still not in that space now. You've transitioned. So I'm kind of trying to walk through it. How long is your time in the network marketing space going on for?
Probably like 3 years.
Okay, got you. So you're doing about $10,000 a month. You're doing well. What made you now decide that you wanted to pivot out of that space?
Because it ain't your business. So they changed the comp plan like 3 times. So I went from making 10 bands to like 6 to like 1,500. And I'm like, hold on. Yo, I got bills. I just went and got the BMW. I just went and got the crib. I start dressing nice and I couldn't afford none of that stuff. So I'm like, damn, bro, I got to figure this shit out. So that's when I start trying to think, what can I do next that's mine? So that's when I started, you know, trying to do drop shipping, trying to do Forex. And I kept running into the same issue that you needed capital. So I'm like, you know what? I need to fix my credit. So that's when I think Him 500 or Runway Billionaire had an ebook out that was like only $40. So I bought that ebook. I think I was able to get a little bit of deletions. And I'm like, you know what? I need some more information. So that's when I went and bought some more information, video based, and I was able to clean my credit in 4.5 months. So that's when I was like, oh, this credit thing is crazy. You know what I'm saying? I got my first credit card, started credit card stacking, started setting up some LLCs, got funding on the business side, got an event space, got some rental properties, started marketing myself, and life been up ever since.
What was happening during that? Because it's always great when you get to the finish line, but when you on your way there,
that's
rough. Yeah, bro, it's tough, especially because like you said, you go from doing $10,000 a month to that's like, what where the money at? Like, the money ain't money in. What are those conversations now with family and friends at the time, if any at all? What are they saying?
They like, I told you. I told you those things don't work. I told you not to drop out of school. I told you you still needed to work a job. So it was kind of like people just was happy to see you fail in a sense. But my real ones was like, bro, you going to bounce back. You going to get back to it. So I just listened to more of that versus the people who was like trying to really feed their insecurities through me.
So you go from being in the network marketing space, everything ties back to capital. You start educating yourself about credit, and now you're in the credit space. So at this point, once again, you're at zero trying to get back up, if not an even better spot. What's the turning point that now starts to happen once you're in credit to start putting you back in good financial standing again?
So what it really was is that I had to get out of my own way. And for so long, I was cool with being broke because, like, most people, like, I was making 10 bands a month. So I'm like, I don't want to work for nobody. I don't want to do nothing that's outside of doing my own thing. And that kept me broke for so long until I was like, you know what? I need to find a way to make some bread. So what I did was I was on OfferUp scrolling, and I seen they had a motorbike on there for $350. I ain't even had a $350. So I asked my girl, I'm like, hey, babe, can I borrow $350? She like, for what? I'm like, I'm about to get this bike and start doing deliveries. And she was so happy because she like, damn, this nigga been broke for the last 2-3 years. If he do anything, I'm willing to support him, right? Mm-hmm. So she helped me get the bike. And that's what changed my life. I'm doing deliveries from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. every single night until the app said, yo, you got to chill, bro. You've been on this app too long. You got to go take a rest. Mm-hmm. So that changed my life because I was able to stack up $5,000 in like 8 weeks doing that. That's when I was able to start investing back into myself because now I had the resources. So I always tell people, like, man, you broke by choice. If you really ain't want to be broke, you go do Instacart, you go do DoorDash, you go do something like that because you don't need no skill. You just got to show up. And you can even show up with a bike. Like, you can literally rent a bike from Zumo. This is what I did. I rented a bike from Zumo and I started doing deliveries, literally start making $75 a day, $150 a day. And I started to build my confidence back as my bank account started to grow.
You're getting your confidence back, bank account's growing, you're starting to invest in understanding credit. Were there any conversations around credit with the people you're closest to too? Because I think in our community, it's always tricky getting into business because we're taught like school, work, die. Like that's it. And even with credit, credit has like a bit of a weird taboo to it as well because we come from a community where it's like you only use it for two things. Like if really gas and emergencies, that's it.
Yeah, facts.
So as you started to get into that space, I know for me, when I started learning about credit, I want to tell everybody and their grandmother that I knew, like, yo, y'all gotta educate yourself about this. And I ran into a hard time because nobody wanted to learn. Were you dealing with a similar situation? What was that like for you?
I already felt it in network marketing because remember, I tried to introduce that to all my friends and family. Like, bro, I found something that's making me good money. I'm changing my life. Y'all need to see this. Nobody wanted to check it out. I wasn't making money with none of my homeboys. I was making money with strangers. So it was the same thing with credit. I tried to put my homeboys on with it like, yo, I just figured out how to clean our credit. I just figured out how to go get high limit credit cards. I just figured out how to properly structure a business so the banks is legally letting us legally rob them. You know what I'm saying? But they weren't interested in leveling up. So it didn't do anything for me because I'm not doing this for them. I'm doing this for me and my family. So they're lost.
Hey, business owners, imagine being able to walk in and out of banks and starting to see approvals instead of rejections. And it's not because you changed anything with your business, but because you put your personal credit report in the position it needed to be in. Here at Takeoff Financial, our team helps business owners just like you using consumer law strategies that'll get real results in real time. We remove collections, charge-offs, late payments, evictions, delinquent student loans, along with anything else that's keeping you from getting to your funding goals. And best of all, it's completely done for you. We send the disputes, file the complaints, and do everything needed to help put you in position to access your first $50,000 to $100,000 in business credit. So if you're interested, head over to takeofffinancial.com or click the link in the description below to book a free consultation with me and my team to learn more about how we can help you get one step closer to your funding goals.
So now fast forward now, you've been able to take, and you said something really great where you talked about how like when you look at a lot of different business models, I don't matter if you want to do drop shipping, Airbnb, whatever, most people are starting from zero.
Yeah.
And where you kind of bridge that gap is having access to capital. If you ask the average person, like, yo, save up $15,000, $20,000 off their 9-to-5 income and they got kids and all these different things happening, they're going to find themselves working for years before they even think to touch that kind of money. But as you know, just as well as I do, with things like credit, you now put yourself in a position to have the money like that.
Facts.
From your experience, for people who are watching, before we start really breaking this thing down for them, why is credit so important?
Because most people got the concept of business wrong. Most people do business to get money, but reality, we supposed to get money to do business. That's why you see people go on Shark Tank. That's why you see people look for, you know, investors and seed funding and all of this, because they understand that a real business is going to need resources. You're going to have to hire top talent. You're going to have to market yourself. You're going to have to implement softwares and systems that are very costly. And a lot of people don't understand that they probably shouldn't even be in business unless they got some money to start the business the right way. Mm-hmm. So that's why I tell people, a lot of people are going to run into so many issues if they don't have the capital to market, the capital to hire, the capital to scale, the capital to even learn and get better as a CEO or the owner of the company. So having a business but not having capital is literally like, it's too risky in 2025.
So if I, let's say I came to you and I'm where you were, right? Back when you were coming out of MLM, I'm starting at zero. You've convinced me now, like, I understand I need the credit. I'm ready to start taking action, but I don't know how. In the year 2025, if I'm starting from zero and I want to start establishing things on the credit side, on the personal side, so I can go out and start getting closer to building my business up, what's the first move that I'm supposed to make?
Got to look at your credit. You got to see where you at, where you starting at. You want to see if you got negative items on there, late payments, collections. You want to see if you got any good accounts on there too. So the first step is just analyze where you at so you can know, okay, this is where I want to be in 3 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. So I would say get your credit report. You can even get it for free. Go to annualcreditreport.com, pull a copy of your credit for free, and just start to look at all of the things that might be keeping you from getting funding. If you got six names on your credit report, the bank is looking at you like, I don't know who Marvin is, who Michael is, who all of these different M names is. So having that one name on your credit report is super important. Having one address, because if you got 17 different addresses on your credit report, they looking at you like, hold on, this person not stable. This person might take my bread and run off. So having that one address is super important. Not having your job when you was 15. People got KFC on their credit report. Amen. They ain't worked in KFC in 20 years. So getting that kind of stuff off your credit is going to be the first thing I say. Get your personal information right. Mm. Then make a list of at least 10 accounts that you can add to your credit profile, whether that's Rent Reporters, Rental Karma, Self, Kickoff, Ava, pledge loans, secure credit cards. Mm-hmm. Your goal is to start establishing credit so that the banks can give you their money. But before they give you their money, they want to see that you've already been establishing yourself. So that's what I would tell them. Start to establish yourself.
You just started naming a couple. I heard Rent Reporters, Rental Karma. What are those that you had just named? Are those different types of accounts we should be applying for? And if so, could you break some of those down?
Yeah, so Rental Karma and Rent Reporters, that's where you can go report your rent. So a lot of people don't realize whenever you open a new account, it don't come with no age. So if I go get, you know, Self, I go get Credit Strong, I go get those credit builders, the account is going to start today. But if I can, you know, get the Rental Karma, the Rent Reporters, it's going to backdate 2 years. Mm-hmm. So now I'm getting that history.
Mm. One of the other things you had, sir, because I know it's very controversial in the space, you talked about like secured loans and secured cards. Do you still think in 2025 that's a, because essentially, with those, we're using our own money to build our credit. But with credit, we want to use other people's money. So where do you stand? If I'm, once again, this is coming from someone starting from zero. Like, is that still an effective way for me to build on a personal credit side?
Yeah, if you're not being cheap.
Okay.
So if you're being cheap and you get a $200 secure credit card, you're finna be taking forever before the bank want to give you $25K. Mm-hmm. But if you, like I said, get off your ass, you go do DoorDash, you go do something where you can have some liquid, and instead of a $200 secure credit card, you do a $3,500 secure credit card. That's going to put you in a better position, because once your credit is cleaned, they're going to graduate you. So you already got high limit credit, which is a comparable when it's time to get the business funding. So yeah, I think secure cards are good.
And you beat me to it. So you said a key word there where you talked about comparable, and that's something I think most people who watch episodes like this hear a lot. Why is what we're doing on the personal side so important? Because ultimately, we're trying to set ourselves up to get capital to start these businesses that you're talking about. Why is what we're doing on the personal side so important to what we're ultimately trying to get ourselves for on the business side?
Because the bank's going to judge you. They like, how's Marvin handling his business? If you paying your bills on time, you making on-time payments, your utilization is low, you look like a trustworthy person to lend some money to. It's just like this, right? I don't know where you're from, but I'm from the hood, right? So let's say you ran off on the plug, right? And you try to come back to the hood. That don't mean you safe. You know what I'm saying? Just because you can show up don't mean they're not going to do anything to you. And it's the same thing with credit. Just because you running off on people, it's going to affect you. So, like, other banks are going to see that, and they're not going to tap in with you. Just like if you run off on one plug, they're going to tell the other plugs about you. And now when you're trying to shop with somebody else, you already got a bad reputation. So
So you had mentioned some accounts earlier. One of the things I didn't hear you mention were like, because in this space, we normally hear about like banks. A lot of what you talked about were like different accounts like Ava and Rent Reporters and so forth. So once we finish building with those respective accounts, is it now a scenario where we get those and we start getting accounts from banks like a Chase at the same time? Do we do one before the other? Walk me through that.
So if you're building your personal credit, you want to tap in with credit unions. So you want to go to like Navy, Fed, because they're giving out the bag. So if you go to Navy, Fed, you know, they pull TransUnion. Mm. Then you want to go to, you know, Dover, NASA, they all going to pull Experian. So now you can go to the credit unions. They're going to give you higher limits. Mm. They're going to give you 10, 20,000. Mm. So then you could go to the bigger banks because they're going to take you serious. Versus if you go to the big banks first, mm. they're going to look at you like, why are we giving you a $25,000 credit card? That don't make no sense. You don't even have any comparables. Mm. But the credit unions will take that risk on you.
Now, here's the next thing, right? Because I think we do all of this work. How much time do we need to let pass once we, whether it's going to the credit unions, the credit builders and beyond, before we can actually start moving over to the business side? Is this something that's only going to take us a couple of days, a couple months, a year, 2 years? Walk me through that.
I'll be honest. It's going to take you about 6 months to a year. Honest. Honestly, really about 12 months. Okay. Just because those accounts got a season. Mm. If you got a high limit credit card last month, the bank is look. They want to see how you utilize that credit for the next 6 to 12 months before they give you a business credit card.
Right.
So people just got a lot to fuck in. You know what I'm saying? You can't worry about how much time it's going to take. Just do what you got to do because it's already 6 months into this year. So if they locked in January, they be having 6 months of progress. But if they just keep thinking about, oh, man, I got to wait 6 months. Oh, man, I got to wait 12 months. Bro, the time going to keep going.
Yeah.
You've been watching my videos for 3 years. Mm. They've been watching your podcast forever.
So if they started
actually doing the stuff that we're talking about, they would actually have results. Mm. So that's what I tell people. Stop worrying about how much time it's going to take and let's do it correctly. Because I only had to fix my credit one time. Mm. I only had to build a banker relationship one time. Mm. I only had to press apply one time. You know what I'm saying? So it's like people looking at it the wrong way.
So what's interesting about that is I think one thing some people may do to try and cut the line is they'll try and do like the authorized user strategy and I already see you shaking your head where it's just like, all right, cool. I ain't trying to wait no 6 months to a year. Here's what I'm finna do. I got my auntie on my daddy's side. I'm gonna go ahead and get on her credit card and I'm gonna sit on that credit card and then I'm gonna be good because I'm gonna have my nice little 740 credit score. Then I'm gonna be able to get this car or this funding or this. What is the problem with taking that approach in 2025?
It's kind of burnt out. You know what I'm saying? Any good underwriter knows those are credit builders. Mm. So any good underwriter knows that's an authorized user. He even says it. It says authorized user on your credit report when it's on there. So I tell people, yeah, you can get the authorized users as like a bonus, but don't make them the necessity. So if you've never had a credit card before, you still want to build out your profile. Mm. And then before you apply for the credit card, you want to go make sure that you get, you know, some high limit AUs and then apply. It's going to help you out. But if you just don't got no primaries and you think that you could just throw 5 AUs on there, you tripping.
Mm. So it's more like a add on to the legwork we already did with the credit builders that you talked about. It's not like I'm going to just do this. That's it. I'm set for life.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a bonus.
Is there anything else that we would need to do on a personal side before we start going on a business side? Like, are there mistakes that you normally see people make when it comes to building things out on a personal side that we want to make sure our audience avoids as well?
They LLCs or whatever business entity they set up be usually incorrect structure. Mm. They didn't take enough time and money to build out their personal credit profile. Mm. As I tell people, like, if we're trying to get a 50K card from Chase, why are you being cheap? Mm. Like, let's spend some money. Like, if it cost us two bands to build our credit report, that's still $48,000 in funding you about to go fumble if you don't do it the right way. Yeah. Same thing with setting up your business. They out here trying to get the cheapest business address, but it's like, why are you being cheap if you could go get $100,000 in funding if you set this up the right way? So I always tell people, stop being cheap. Stop trying to find the fastest way, and let's find the best way to do things. So instead of going to, well, you can get your virtual addresses, you know, from iPostal, Opus, Regis. But what you want to make sure you're doing is that's just for the LLC. Mm. But when you go to the banks, they already know that's a virtual address. They want to do business with businesses versus PO boxes and virtual places that nobody even shows up.
Yep.
So I always tell people to use your home address for the bank account and use those virtual addresses for the LLC. That way you got that anonymity. Nobody knows where you live. You're not doxing yourself. Mm. But with the bank, now they know they can trust you because they're like, okay, this is where you live. We know we can find you if shit go left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you talked about address. Are there other components that make up a properly structured business that we also want the audience to know about on to make sure we're set up for business funding.
Talk to me about that. So the name, I remember when I first started this thing, I thought I had it all figured out, right? That's where people mess up. And one of my first LLCs was called Financial Gangster LLC, right?
Oh, yeah, you lost it. You're done.
I tried to go in Chase. I tried to go in Navy Fed, open business bank accounts. But I kept wondering why somebody would be tapping me on the shoulder like, hey, you need to leave. And I'm like, oh, maybe this name is not the name I should have went with. So I tell people, like, you want to keep a name super broad, super generic, something like your initials management, something like your initials enterprise. Mm. Because if you switch what you're doing, you don't got to switch the business name.
Yeah.
And banks don't want to help you get rich. So if they see that you're an investor, you're doing something where it's high risk, they like, hold on. We're not funding you to go get rich.
Yeah.
So you want to disguise what you're doing by keeping it super broad and super generic with the business name.
Mm. So we get our name, we get our address, we have the business. Would you say now the business is structured and good enough 100%. For funding?
You don't even need a lot of that other stuff people be talking about. You can get it.
Mm.
But if you got good credit and that LLC is structured the right way, the email don't matter. I don't got people funded 50K with a Gmail.
Mm.
I don't got people funded 50K with a cell phone.
Mm.
But with those addresses and those names, that's what slows down the process.
Mm. So we get our structure together. Now, according to you, we're ready to go and get access to the capital. How do we now decide where we're going to find? Because you mentioned credit unions earlier. We walk out right now. We're in New York City. We walk outside right now. There's going to be a bank on every single block, right? Doesn't mean that every bank that we see is a bank that's for us and what we're trying to do. So how are we now choosing which banks we're going to now put ourselves in position to get access to this capital?
I'm going
to
give you a couple strategies, right? So one thing you can do is 2025, we got AI.
Mm-hmm.
So ask AI some questions. Go to ChatGPT and tell it to list you a list of 10 banks that are in your state that offer 0% interest funding that don't require any proof of revenue. Mm. They're going to start listing places. They're going to say PNC, Chase, Wells Fargo, American Express. So they're going to give you a list of banks that you can start going to. And then if you say, hey, could you also tell me which bureau they pull from? They're going to start to tell you that too.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And then if you go to this website called Help Me Build Credit, now they're going to even tell you application protocol from the last person who got approved. So they're going to tell you what their credit score was. They're going to tell you what their income was. Mm. And they're also going to tell you what bureau pulled their credit when they applied for that product. So if you leverage an AI and you leverage it, Help Me Build Credit, you can go get six figures in funding in the next 30 days or less.
In 2025, what is a sequence that either you're running or most of your clients are running right now that are maximizing how much capital they're getting access to?
You know, we're going to Chase. Okay. I might name my son Chase. I've been thinking about it. My next son.
Uh-huh.
My next son got to be named Chase just because Chase treats you better than family. If I call one of my homeboys right now, say, bro, let me get $50,000 and start a t-shirt company, he's going to be like, bro, you're tripping right now. Mm. If I call my auntie, let me get $50,000 to start a food truck business. She said, you can't even cook.
Mm.
But if I go to Chase, I ain't going to tell them it's a food truck. I ain't going to tell them it's for real estate. I'm going to say it's for business management, right? They're going to give me the $50,000. Now I could go get the food truck popping. Now I could go get the clothing line popping. So I tell people, we've got to go to Chase. We got to go to Amex. Why? Because they're going to give us 0% interest funding.
Mm.
And I always ask people, if a bank is giving you 0% for 12 months, don't you feel like you can figure something out in 12 months?
1,000%.
I think so too, right?
Yeah.
But let's say you couldn't figure it out. You feel like you can figure something out in 24 months?
Absolutely.
Exactly. So what happens is people don't know that you could get the 0% interest. They could do a balance transfer and give yourself even more time. So there's no reason to be afraid of the funding. You just got to know how to leverage it like the rich people. You know what I'm saying? Because poor people, like you said, they use their credit in cases of emergencies.
Mm.
But rich people use their credit in case of opportunities.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Ooh, this is good. Let me sit. All right. So we have different banks that we're going to, right? With Chase, is 524 still a thing that's going on right now? The rule where it's like, I've heard that there's always been this underlying thing of like, hey, you can only apply for 5 accounts in 24 months. Is that something that people still need to be mindful of when they're going and forming a relationship with them?
Let me double back. You want to go to PNC in your first round because they check your business credit utilization. So PNC needs to be in your first round because if you go to PNC in the second round and you done already maxed out your Chase card, you're cooked.
Mm-hmm.
So PNC got to be in that first round. But my bad, what was your question?
So 524, and that was a good jump. 524 for Chase, is that still a thing that's going on right now? Because Chase has never said it, but there's always been an underlying thing in the community that says, hey, you can't get a card with Chase on a personal or the business side if you've opened five new accounts in the last 24 months? Is that still going on right now?
I would say yes and no.
Okay.
Because if you apply online, you're cooked. Mm. But if you apply with a BRM, a business relationship manager, a lot of the times they're going to let you bypass that.
For those who don't know, what is a BRM and why is that so important to us going through this funding process?
Pretty much Santa Claus. They're going to make sure that you get that gift under the tree this summer. Okay. I mean, this winter.
So the BRM is an acronym that, if I'm not mistaken, stands for Business Relationship Manager. So they're the ones we want to go to.
Yep. So you never want to apply online. You want to find them. So as soon as you go in the bank, you say, I need to talk to who's in charge here. And they might point you to me. But besides me, you want to go to the BRMs because they're going to help you. Like I said, you're not going to want to apply online because when you apply online, a lot of the times you're going to run into verification issues. Mm-hmm. And then you can't request the limit you want. Mm-hmm. When you apply with a BRM at Chase, you can request a 50K limit. You can request a 60K limit. You can request a 75K limit. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that online. So being able to get that high limit funding without, you know what I'm saying, going to that bank six times to get the same amount of funding is definitely a game changer.
So when we're going, because we hear a lot of the rhetoric that we hear talked about in the space is building relationships. You got to build a relationship. What does it actually look like to build a relationship with a bank like Chase if we're trying to get access to capital?
You got to put your money where your mouth is. Because think about it, right? You're getting a 50K card from Chase. The reason why you want to put money in your bank account, I would recommend at least $2,000. Yes, you can do this with less money. But the reason why is because if you max out that 50K card, your minimum payment is going to be 1% of the balance. Mm-hmm. So that'd be a $500 payment. So if you got $2,000 in your bank account, you're already showing the underwriter that you got 4 months of payments lined up. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't add any more money to your bank account. So that's going to show them that you're serious. And it's also going to show them that you have the money to pay them back. So building those relationships is good. Depositing money, creating some transaction history, and also having that account open for as long as possible. Because I know with Chase, if you got your business bank account open for 6 months, now instead of just getting business credit cards, you can also get lines of credits too with no docs. So that's why I tell people, like, don't start building the relationships when you need them. Start building them now. Like, I'm already building relationships for 2027. Like, I'm opening up bank accounts today so that I can leverage them next year.
What's the difference between, because I actually don't really talk much about lines of credit on here. What is the difference for me if I'm someone who's just getting started, if I'm trying to go the business credit route versus the line of credit route? How do I know? Is it a situation where you're going for one or the other, or is it an and situation where you should be prioritizing building to get access to both?
I say both, because more funding equals more opportunities. Mm-hmm. I like business credit cards because they're revolving, but I like lines of credit because you don't got to do all of the liquidation methods and things like that. The money's already right there. You can start using it.
Mm. Another thing that I don't hear people say, and you talked about it earlier, we talked about how we want to put ourselves in positions where we're not giving the bank a reason to kind of raise eyebrow like you have and had the little tap on the shoulder, like, I think you got to get out of here. NAICS codes, like the classification codes that goes into our business, a lot of people aren't really talking about that when it comes to going through the funding process. For those who don't know, could you talk a little bit about what an NAICS code is and how it affects us navigating this funding process when we're going in and dealing with the banks?
So that's pretty much a bank code that the banks use to determine how high risky your business is. Well, how risky your business is. So I tell people, avoid the stuff that makes them feel like you're an investor. Avoid the stuff that shows them that, well, when it really comes to the code, you want to look at industries that have a lot of chargebacks, industries that have a lot of lawsuits. Those are going to be the ones that the banks want to stay away from. So I always tell people, even consulting is getting burnt out because everybody's saying they're a consultant. And when the bank says, hey, so what kind of consulting do you do? They don't even know how to describe. They're like, well, I help businesses.
Yeah.
And they say, well, how do you help them? They're like, they stuck.
Yeah.
So now the rep looking at me like, bro, why would you send this person to my calendar? Like, they don't even know what kind of business they operate in. So what I've been telling my clients is we don't do consulting. We do business management. That's something that is working for us right now.
So we
and if you want to find the codes, you just Google the code, business management NAICS code or low risk NAICS codes.
What happens now? So let's say I've gone out and I've applied for funding, whether it's with a Chase, a PNC, any of these other banks that you mentioned. You mentioned Amex earlier. All right, I thought I was going to get 50. I thought I was going to get 45 to 50, 55, however much, 25. I don't get denied. But I walk away and I only get approved for, let's say, $5,000. On the business side, mind you.
Yeah.
$5,000, $7,000, or $3,500, which I've seen. What, in a situation like that, what do you think may have happened with that individual as to why they got such a low limit, and is there a way to fix it?
So they probably got a low limit because they didn't know the right data points to put on the application. They probably didn't have a business bank account set up with them. Mm. Or maybe their profile didn't have enough comparables to make the bank feel like they could trust you with that kind of limit. But that happens. You know, even somebody with an 800 credit score, you know, shit happens sometimes. But I always tell people, if you're not satisfied with the limit you got from Chase, mm-hmm. before you activate the card, you want to call them and ask for a limit increase. Like, mm-hmm. hey, this is going to be my primary card. I'm super grateful for the limit you guys gave me. However, I'm going to be doing about 3 times that in transactions every month. Is there any way that you guys could increase this limit?
Yeah.
And they're going to, you know, run you through reconsideration. And a lot of the times they're going to give you a higher limit. So I tell people, don't activate that card. See if you could get a limit increase before you activate it. Because mm-hmm. once you activate the card, they're going to tell you got to wait 3 to 6 months. And they're going to say, oh, well, let's see how you use it first mm-hmm. before we give you that limit increase.
So we have our foundation on the personal side. We have our foundation on the business side. I said it earlier at the top. I know you also have a very active hand on the digital marketing side, and I want to kind of unpack that a bit. Where did the title smartphone billionaire come from?
It came from me just wanting to learn how to make money off my smartphone and not wanting to work for anybody. So once I started learning how to, you know, post content, I started learning how to sell digital products. Mm. I've been selling digital products for a minute. People don't even know. I was selling digital products back before anybody even had a name for it. They just called it something you bought.
So, and that's where I think it gets interesting, because we have literally millions of people right now as we're sitting down who spend hours upon hours a day scrolling through their phone, but there's only a very small percentage of those individuals that have actually found a repeatable way to make money from it, like yourself and like myself and beyond. So what's the biggest thing that keeps most people in this market, in the digital marketing space, from turning their phone into a cash printing machine?
They're consumers. They rather watch me, they rather watch you instead of be creators. Creators gonna make the most bread in life, whether that's you creating music, you creating jobs, you creating businesses. So I would tell them, stop consuming so much of other people's content. And like me, I hate to say this, but I don't really watch a lot of people's stuff. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, I'm my biggest fan. I'll scroll my own page like, man, that's a good piece of content. Ooh, you went crazy on this one. And you know what I'm saying? So I would tell people, fall in love with yourself more. Stop idolizing everybody else. And also, be authentic. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they want to, oh, I need the designer clothes. Oh, I need the nice car. Oh, I need the fancy apartment. Right now, that's cap. You don't need none of that shit. All you need to do is have a good story. Be authentic, be consistent, and if you're smart, know how to solve a problem, and not just any problem, a problem that people with money have so that you can always get paid.
Hmm. So you said something earlier about people start businesses to make money, but really you get money to start. It's actually the other way around. You get money to start the business.
Say it one more time.
People start businesses to make money, but you're saying it's the other way around, where it's like you get money to start the business,
yes,
right?
Sir.
We got the money now. You just gave us the blueprint on what we need to do on the personal side to set ourselves up for the business side. And we really got the money on the business side to set ourselves up for the actual business. In 2025, with the information that we have around personal business, what is that first step we need to take if we want to start turning our phone into a cash printing machine moving forward?
You got to find a mentor. See, a lot of people have been trying to figure this shit out for years, and they getting gray hairs. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, they losing weight. They saying black don't crack, but they stuff starting to crack, right? So what you want to do is you want to find somebody that has what you want and has a blueprint for you to get there. That's the first thing. I always ask people, like, you get $50,000 today. What's your first thing you spending money on? And mm-hmm. a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to go get a property. I'm going to go run the play. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, well, do you actually know how to vet a property? Do you know how to analyze a deal? Do you know how to do that play? And mm-hmm. they be like, nah, but I'm going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, so you're going to figure it out with the bank's money. Mm-hmm. That's how dummies think. Mm-hmm. Why not pay somebody who knows exactly what the first move you should make is, pay them, and then go run the play. So that's mm-hmm. how I tell people. That's the first thing you should do with your money. Pay a professional to get the game, mm-hmm. and then start executing.
Mm-hmm. So let's role play this thing here. I come to you. I pay the invoice. I want you to know.
How big is the invoice?
What you charge? I don't know.
Let's say it's 10K.
I give you the 10K. I'm trying to go from zero to hero. I'm trying to go from, I don't got no money coming in to, I have a business that's bringing me at least at the floor $10,000 a month. I have you as a mentor. What are the steps that I'm now taking moving forward to start building my digital presence online and start understanding how to make money from my socials?
The first, like I told you, we got to get you a skill. Mm. So the skill I've been teaching a lot of people is funding, because I feel like it's simple. Once you learn what the banks are looking for, you can replicate that. So if you know they're looking for 10 accounts, if you know they're looking for comparables, if you know they don't want to see any negatives, I literally just gave you the blueprint to starting a funding company. The only thing you don't know now is how to market. So what I'm going to teach you now is how to market, because even if your credit bad, that's not going to stop you from making six or seven figures. That's just going to stop you from having six or seven figures of somebody else's money.
But would
you be complaining about having your own money?
No, absolutely not.
Me neither, right? So that's what I tell people. All right, let's start you up a simple funding business where you only need one to two clients a month to start making five figures, right? And then I'm going to teach them how to market. I'm going to teach them how to pick a specific person that they're talking to in their content. Because a lot of people do funding, but a lot of people don't make money because they're saying, if you got a 700 credit score, I'm going to get you some funding. Versus me, I'm saying, hey, if you're an investor in real estate and you have a 700 credit score, I can help you buy more properties at a cheaper rate than hard money lenders. So I'm speaking to a specific group of people. So that's the first thing I would say. Hey, Marvin, who is your target customer? Who would you love to work with? And we're going to create the messaging to specifically talk to that person's pain points so that they know, like, oh, this guy Marvin is helping me get 0% interest funding. If I go to these guys, they're going to charge me 10, 15% interest. Hold on. I'd rather do it his way because his way makes more sense.
So now the interesting thing about that, right, is you basically just broke down how we start marketing to get in front of the people we want to work with, right? But there are going to be a lot of people who watch this who are going to create more excuses about why they can't and all these other different things. So let's say you say that, and I come back and you say, all right, well, the problem with that is I'm going to get their attention, but now they're going to window shop. They're going to look at me, they're going to look at you, and they look at all these different people. And because I'm new, they're probably not going to want to do business with me. They're probably going to want to go elsewhere. I got an understanding of some of the different things I could do to get their attention, but how do I now get that person in the door to start paying me money? That's a whole different ballgame.
Showing up. The more you, social media is a microwave society. You can post 21 times, everybody going to think you posted a million times. Like, hold on, that's boy Marvin been talking about credit forever. You only posted 20 times. The average person posts one time and get 200 plays. They're like, I don't know, that social media shit, it ain't working. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to go get this 9 to 5.
Right.
So if you can get past that, people are going to start to gain respect for you. So a lot of the people judge their success off of who wants to shop with them initially. But your friends and family probably won't shop with you because they don't respect you. So the people on the internet only know you for what you post. So the more you post, the more they're going to respect you. And when you share your story, people are going to relate to you. My story, they might, oh, bro, I used to do DoorDash. Bro, it was in MLM. I don't like this guy. But they're like, hold on, you were a comedian. I was a comedian. I like this guy. Let me tap in with him because I can relate to his story versus my story. So it's not really about how much money you make. It's about having that specific customer that you want to help and letting them know why you're different.
We get the marketing down. We understand how we're able to stand out in the marketplace, right? And then also how we're able to get people in. At some point, as we're growing this business, in order for us to really continue to take the business to the next level, we want to get to a point where we start, because we can't do everything by ourselves. I can't be doing sales and marketing and doing the fulfillment and doing these different things. What are some of the moves you made early on to where, I mean, you on this podcast right now, you're making money right now, I'm making money even outside of this. What are the moves that you made in the earlier stages to be able to put yourself in that position now that other individuals who are working to get there need to start doing as well?
I read this book by Dan Martell. It's called Buy Back Your Time. And a lot of people want to be, you know, a solopreneur, right? But what you want to do is you want to buy back your time. You want to find people who can give you another 20 hours in the week. A person, like if somebody asked me how many hours in a day do I have, or how many hours in a day do you have?
I would say, I know it's a trick question, but I'll say 24.
See, I got about 80 hours because I got other people's 24 hours. You know what I'm saying? So I would tell people leverage is amazing because now you can have a freedom-based business. You know, I'm chilling with you, but I got people running my companies. I'm chilling with you, but I got orders being fulfilled. I'm chilling with you, but I'm still making money. You know what I'm saying? So it's just really understanding that you're the CEO and you shouldn't be doing everything. But at the beginning, you have to do everything so that you can hire the right people so that you know that they're not wasting your time and your money. So I tell people, like, literally, me, I made multiple six figures being an employee, well, being a one-man show. Because people, a lot of the times, they trash with their time. You don't got to work your business all day. A 9 to 5 just keep you there. But if they say, yo, if you finish all your work in 2 hours a day, you could go home. Most people can finish 8 hours of work in 2 hours, right?
You're going to find a way.
Yeah. So that's the same thing in entrepreneurship. So you post your content, You follow up with your customers. You do a little bit of fulfillment. That's all. You can do all that in 3 hours a day. So you don't got to be that person that leaves your 9 to 5 to start being an entrepreneur 24/7. That's what most of these people do, why they be burnt out, because they don't got no freedom.
So I'll ask you this. As someone who is scaled and is still scaling right now, if I gave you a scenario, in every business you have three things, right? You have sales, you have marketing, and then you have fulfillment or operations. Let's say you have an A player, a B player, and a C player, but you can only hire one for each department. If you were trying to find the most effective way to get to six figures, where's the A player? What department is the A player going in?
Marketing.
Immediately. Why marketing?
Because if they don't know you, they can't flow you. What do they say? Visibility beats ability. Some of y'all better than me at what y'all do, but I'm killing y'all right now because I'm willing to spend the money and y'all willing to not. So marketing, and then the other one was
the B player and the C player between sales and operations.
Sales is B.
Operations is C.
I'm about making money.
What about the fulfillment?
The fulfillment's good.
With a C player? Hey, fucking yo. I mean, it's all opinionated. But so your worst employee would go to, not the worst, because they're not, not trash.
I hired an operations manager and I had to fire them because they didn't do anything that made money. Like, oh yeah, we need to go do this, we need to do that. I'm like, yo, how can we make more bread? Like, let's focus on making money. People gonna get their stuff, but I don't wanna, let's add this zap. Let's do this, let's do that to keep making it even more smooth. But it's like, it's smooth enough, bro. Like, let's focus on making money. You know what I'm saying? If we can't get to the people, then they're not gonna buy our stuff. If they can't buy our stuff, they're not gonna get a result. If they can't get a result, they're gonna be depressed.
This is my first
time. It's only busting many times your baby mama or your girl gonna be cool with saying, I don't know, babe, we might have to wait this one out before she start. You know, that's how girls get work husbands. You know what I'm saying? Because your man told you no. But your man told you no too many times when you really just needed to lock in, get the right information so that you can take care of family, man.
So let's say, all right, we marketing above everything.
Yeah.
It's gonna help us get to the finish line. Right now, we're in this space where everybody's heavy on AI. How are you using AI, or how are you coaching other individuals to start using artificial intelligence in their business so that they're also able to continue scaling effectively and efficiently?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I need to use AI more because running a funding company is easy. You know what I'm saying? I'm literally just asking the chat, yo, name some banks for this person. They got a Georgia LLC. And I'll be honest, I got spreadsheets and stuff like this that already got it. Yeah. But if I'm just bored, I might go to chat and tell it to name some banks or do it, do this or do that. But a lot of the stuff I'm doing is so easy where I don't really need AI, to be honest with you, because it's like, it's post a reel, it's Manny chat to reply to the DMs, it's a DM setter that books a call, then it's a closer who closes them. Then I got a client success manager who views their credit to double check to make sure that they're qualified. So it's like, it's so many things in place to just make sure that shit is running smooth.
Attention business owners. Are you tired of getting denied for business credit because your personal credit is still holding you back? You have the business, you have the vision, but every single time that you apply, lenders hit you with the same brick wall time after time again, your credit report. You see, here at Takeoff Financial, we use advanced consumer law strategies to get every negative item removed from your credit report. Things like collections, charge-offs, late payments, delinquent student loans, and so much more. And best of all, it's fully done for you. Our team sends out the dispute letters, files the complaints, and handles everything needed to get your credit to the finish line. Which means you don't have to lift a finger, and we'll do all the heavy lifting needed to put you in position to finally get approved for business credit. So if you're ready to stop getting denied and start getting funded, head over to takeofffinancial.com to book a free consultation with me and my team to see how we can put you in position to get one step closer to your funding goals.
So, I mean, if that's the case for where you are now, because like you said, you've structured the business where it's making money without you having to physically be present. You're continuing to move forward. What is the big picture goal for you at this point? Because it seems like you've established yourself well enough, right? Obviously, who doesn't want to make more money? But beyond that, is there something bigger that you're chasing after?
Yeah, I want to help 100 people make six figures online. And I want to do $10 million in funding in 1 month.
Why?
Because think about it. If the average business fails because of lack of capital, I'm keeping people's jobs. You know what I'm saying? I'm keeping security in the economy by funding businesses. So I'm not just doing something I like. I'm doing something that is a need for society. And then as far as, I want to level up people. You know, once you got what you need, and I seen what it did for me. I used to be broke. I used to be depressed. me and my girl used to argue about money all of the time. I remember one time, me and my girl, she didn't even know she was saying something that was going to turn into an argument. She was like, yeah, babe, like, you be holding the house down, and I be holding us down financially. And I'm like, what? Yeah, I don't like the way that sounded. Yeah, so I'm like, from that point, I will never have my woman ever say anything like that to me again. So I'm going to put myself in a position where not only do I make money for me, but I'm making money so she don't got to work anymore.
I think what's great about that is that there are a lot of, and I touched on it earlier, but you know, as we start to close, there are a lot of people today who are exactly where you were then, and you were able to break through. But for a lot of them, they feel like they got this glass ceiling above them that for whatever reason, they can't break past to finally get where they've been trying to get to for years in business. What from, and I'm sure you're dealing with a lot of these people that you're coaching in your company right now. What have you seen has been the number one thing or the most reoccurring thing amongst all these individuals that keeps them from getting to that next level?
If I tell them something today, they're not doing it tomorrow. They doing it in 6 months. And then when they half-ass doing it. So if I tell you like, hey, you need to do A, B, C, do A, B, C. But some people are going to do LMNOP and mess it all up. So I tell people, like, the faster you can follow somebody in the right direction, doing exactly what they said do, you're going to get the results. But if you try to say, oh, I don't feel comfortable doing it that way, I'm unsure about doing it that way, why did you pay me the money? My goal is to get you not only your money back, but get you your freedom back. So I'm willing to tell you everything I got. I'm giving you plays that you honestly ain't even paid me for, but I just want to see you win so much that I'm going to share stuff that I shouldn't share with you based off of the fact that it's like, you know what? I can see you want this. Let me put you on with another play versus a lot of these people on social media that everybody looks up to are so transactional. They be like, you need to pay them for them to even say your name. What I'm saying? They be so crazy. So I tell people, like, I'm a real person. I genuinely care about people. I want to see people win, not so I can brag about it to get more students, but so that I can brag about it with you. Like, yo, do you remember you was sleeping on the floor when I met you, bro? Now you in a pant? Can I get some lamb chops, bro? Like, is it okay if we get some lamb chops on you? Is that all right?
It's absolutely fine.
Let's go.
If this was your, as we start to close, and this was a very fun conversation, If this was your last podcast that you ever got a chance to do, and whoever that person is was on the other side of the screen or on the other side of the phone and they were listening in, what words of either wisdom or inspiration would you share with them at this moment in their journey?
I'm going to tell them, lock in. The faster you get to your dream life, the longer you get to enjoy it. And I told you guys earlier, the only reason why you're not getting to your goals is because you're talking to people who never, never, never even done it. If you start talking to the people like you, start talking to people like me who not only made six figures in a year, but done it in a month, done it in a day, I can give you the blueprint. Even if you mess up by 90%, you're going to hit 10 bands. If you mess up by 90%, you can still hit 10,000 a month. That's the kind of business mentor I want. Because if I could fail and still make six figures, put me on.
Ball game. My brother.
Let me tell them one more thing.
Talk to me.
So you said, what could they do to come up? They got to get in the rooms. So I'm going to be hosting a free class this week, teaching them step by step how to get their credit back in position, how to get six figures in funding, but more importantly, how to turn those two concepts and make six or seven figures before the year is over. All they got to do is lock in, click the link in the description. I know you're going to put it there for them.
Absolutely.
So they can register, get the game, and then start helping everybody else out in their family once they start to implement it.
I love it. So we'll leave the link for that in the description. Also, where can people get connected with you as well?
They could, like I told you, they could find me at the bank. I'm usually chilling inside of Chase's. But realistically, they could find me at Smartphone Billionaire on Instagram, YouTube, and Zaki Billions on TikTok.
I appreciate you immensely. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to leave the link in the description for people. And this is a live class you're doing every single week.
Don't tell them that because they won't come. So I'm only.
It's this week.
If you're watching this,
it's this week.
It's this week only. It ain't next week. It's this week only.
Yeah. And after that, it's gone off. It's done off.
Facts.
My guy, I appreciate you. But more importantly, I appreciate each and every single one of y'all at home. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now to go ahead, hit that like button, tell a friend to tell a friend to come back, rewatch it again. As always, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marvin Francois. That's my guy, Zaki Aman. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you all. God bless. We're out. Peace.